of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to stand together out of respect for the Word of God. We're going to be at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 tonight. Proverbs 17 and verse 6, as we make our way through this great book. I'm going to be preaching on the blessing of a godly example. I have read this verse many times, and of course many others like it, and I never really had an appreciation for it until the Lord spoke to my heart about it today, and I was thankful for it. And so follow along, if you will, as I read. Before I do that, I want to ask, Brother Buff, how's your mom doing? Okay. Good. Ryan's doing okay? Wonderful. Okay. Been praying for him. Debbie, did you talk to Nancy this week? I know Mindy's not here. I know that she was over there the other day. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, she did mention that. Pray for Nancy if you get an opportunity to. She may have to have surgery. The tumor's still there. It's not grown, but it hasn't shrunk. And so just pray for that. There was another one. Somebody's brother had lung cancer. Not Elsa's dad. I'll think of it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for what it means to me to be a dad. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing of my family, and I thank you for the blessings of these families that are here tonight, the part of especially those that with young kids in our church. I pray that you'd help us tonight to learn something from the Word of God. I think applicable across the board. I pray that you'd be glorified and honored. I ask that you'd please help me tonight. I need you desperately. Help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain or sinful, that I may be filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll just set a watch at my lips and prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit or an offense to these my brothers and sisters in Christ, but rather help me to be obedient. Help me to say only in all of those things that you would have me to say for the glory and the honor of our sweet Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There was a group of three expectant fathers who were in a waiting room waiting while their wives were preparing to give birth, and in the process of delivering their babies, a nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just had given birth to twins. And he said, "Man, amazing that. That's quite a coincidence. I play for the Minnesota Twins." And so a little while later, another nurse came in and announced to another man, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." And the man thought, "Wow, that's pretty amazing. I work for the 3M company." And pretty soon, they just, slipped off. And at that point, the third man who was in there slipped off of his chair and laid down on the floor in the fetal position. And somebody came and asked him, "Are you feeling okay?" And he said, "No, I work for 7-Up. At that point, you can understand parenting then can be quite daunting as a responsibility. If we look at it any other way, but a biblical way. Theodore Roosevelt was quite an unusual man. He was a remarkable man, really, as history would tell us. And he had a friend by the name of Owen Wister that would come often to the White House residence and visit him. And one particular afternoon, he was sitting with the president, and the president's daughter, Alice Roosevelt, was going in and out of the room and causing a ruckus and a big stir. And Owen was trying to be as patient as he possibly could. And finally, the good friend looked at the president and he spoke up and said, "Listen, is there anything you could possibly do to control your daughter?" To which the president said, and I quote, "Well, I can do one of two things. I can be the president of the United States, or I can control Alice. I cannot possibly do both." So I suppose even for someone like Teddy Roosevelt, parenting in that sense could be, I guess, a little difficult. There are plenty of things that are impossible to do simultaneously. There are plenty of things we can't all do at the same time. But parenting and being a husband or a wife and living a successful Christian life are not any one of them. Those are all possible by the grace of Almighty God. He would not call us to do any of those things that He would not enable us to do. And as we read this verse, of course, I think the obvious is that we immediately think about grandparents, and on the surface, it I think, somewhat represents that grandparenting must be fun. It must be very fulfilling, as some of you are even grandparents. And but I would say if the Bible tells us here that children's children or grandchildren are the crown of old men and the glory of children are their fathers, what about the grandparents whose children are murderers? Or what about the grandsons who are in prison? The word here in verse 6, children's children are the crown of their old men. The word crown has to do with fulfillment or kind of the icing on the cake. If I've lived the life and I've lived long enough to see grandkids come into the world, then certainly it would be the crown of old men to raise Hitler. I'm just wanting you to get into your mind the context of what this verse is dealing with, and the context, of course, is Scripture. So the depth of the text then is several fold, in that if a son, then a grandson, if the son first and then followed by the grandson refuses the instruction of wisdom and brings shame upon himself, his family name, and ultimately the name of Christ, what honor is in that? What crown could possibly be given to a father or a grandfather and whose son is walking away from God? What child is ever going to glory in the sense in a father who lives a life short of the glory and honor of God? And I want you to get that in your mind. When you're speaking here, you cannot take a spiritual text like the inspired word of God that's been preserved here and take it out and say, well, it has no spiritual meaning. It has every spiritual meaning because it's in the Bible. And so when you look at this passage, the verse before us tonight reminds us that a family that lives for the Lord not only brings honor to his name, but it also, I believe, brings fulfillment and security one to another within that family circle. So I want you to take your outlines tonight, and I want you to notice three reasonable truths surrounding the blessings of a godly example. First of all, I want us to remember now, in the context of Scripture, the responsibility of a godly example rests on the parents. The text obviously reveals the importance of the family relationship. It mentions children's children, which are grandchildren, and that of the old man would be the grandfather, and the glory of children are their fathers. So we have a generation here, a generational family that teaches us even the regard of its legacy is important. Now, however, in the context of Scripture, the parents' responsibility is to raise their children up to a place that honors the Lord. And I want you to remember this. I think you may have the quote in your notes. A parent's responsibility is not to a child's happiness. It's to his character. That's the responsibility. The spiritual environment, then, of the home is absolutely paramount to shaping that character. And that means that if we're going to have a godly character, we got to demonstrate one. So that when you think about being a good example, it begins with, I think, first of all, a godly rule. Godly rule. What do I mean by that? Well, that the government, the boundaries that you have within your home are godly ones. That the home is run in an order that is pleasing to the Lord. Not rash or brash or something that is hurtful, but rather that is complementing to the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, parenting your children includes teaching them not only what the Bible says. And we get in our minds that if we sit down and have a family altar or family devotion and we just say, this is what the Bible says to do, and we don't follow that up with what it looks like when someone obeys it, it's really not doing very much. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a time for instruction, but there's a time for everyone to obey. And that really is, I think, what having a godly rule is. The best way to govern your home is by living a godly example. Now, I want you to notice here in Genesis 18, 19, one of my favorite verses, I probably quote it 8 or 10 times a year. The Bible says, for I know him, God speaking of Abraham, that he will command his children and his household, notice, after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. Now let me ask you a question. Was Abraham blessed with a son? Yes. Was Abraham given a promise by God about that son? Yes. Did Abraham get to see that son marry? You're like, oh, that's a trick question. The answer is yes. Okay. Yes, he did. So my point in saying that is what we're seeing here at the foundation is, as far as a godly example, is God looked at Abraham and said, look, I know this guy, and I know that he's going to train up his children to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Now, class, I'll just tell you by way of instruction, and by way of impression, that those children are not going to follow a are not going to bring honor to him or to God if it's a bad example to follow. So the faith that you read of in Hebrews chapter 11 of Abraham, interestingly enough, you read by faith Isaac. Then you read by faith Jacob. So that faith in God was handed down. How? By example. Now again, don't get in your mind that you're going to pick apart everybody's life in the Bible lest the Holy Spirit pick your life apart. Now we all have our problems and shortcomings, but the reality is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did something right in that it was a legacy of faith that they handed down. Turn in your Bible over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, and I want you to see this again by way of a godly rule. God says, I want you to give an example, but I don't want you just to tell them this is what I say. I want you to follow it up with this is what you ought to do, and you can do it by your following me. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, you know, the Bible says a lot about parenting. Did you know that? It does, in case you didn't know that. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I want you to understand it begins with thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and then it says thou shalt teach them. Did you know that if you love God, that you'll keep his commandments? That's what the Bible says. And so when we're talking about being a godly example and the responsibility of it, it has to do with ruling my house. The Bible says if a bishop rule not his own house, how shall he rule the house of God? So, and that's just not for pastors, by the way. That's our responsibility. So I want you to get in your mind the godly rule. Secondly, I want you to think about having loving regulation. And I want you to think about it this way. When God's love rules our hearts, we are then fit to rule our homes. When God's love rules our hearts, we then become fit to rule our home. Turn in your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 3, just for a few minutes. And I want you to see this point made. Again, we're talking about raising our children so that the glory and honor goes to God. So we're going to get to this fulfillment side, but you have to understand there's a measure of sowing and reaping, and you get what you pay for. Okay? And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 3, notice, if you will, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, notice, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when I thought about this matter of loving regulation, that is, if the love of Christ rules me, then that love is going to be, as it's shed abroad in my heart, going to others with whom I'm ruling over, thus my children, my heritage. So if that's the case, I want you to write this little statement down. Rules without a relationship breeds rebellion. The love of Christ has got to be preeminent in your home when you're talking about, okay, I want to have a good example. I want to pray with them. I want to read the Bible. I want to share a verse with them. I want to share a thought about my devotions. I want to make sure they understand the importance of this and that. Spiritually speaking, great. I want you to do that. But God wants you to have the love of God ruling in your heart with it. It makes all the difference in the world. Someone said to me years ago when I first got out of the military and started to follow the call of God in the ministry, he said, I want you to tell you something as a preacher. If people know that you love them, you can tell them anything. But if you don't, if they do not know that you love them, they will not listen to you. You know, that's true in homes. It's true in homes. You can sit and tell your kid, obey. You can tell your kids, stand up, sit down, whatever you need to do. Do your chores, do your homework. You're grounded. You can say all that stuff. But if you don't have the love of Christ ruling here, it really doesn't matter what you're saying. Because they're just buying time, buying time, buying time. And then when that clock punches 18, boom, they hit the ejection seat and they are gone. Why? Because nobody loves them there. All it's been is rules, 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 and regulation without the regulating power of the love of Jesus Christ. Notice in your notes, Colossians chapter 3. And verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You want to have a good, loving, godly government in your home? That is, understanding with sensitivity how you're supposed to be living and being that right example. Make sure that you have a loving heart. Make sure that you're loving Christ with that heart. Thirdly, let me give you the spiritual reason. Why is it so important here? Now, again, the context is we're going, kind of going in the back door here to Proverbs 17, but I want you to understand, why is it so important that we have a godly example, that we be a godly example in training up our children? Why is it so important? I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, because it's our obedience to God. First and foremost, everyone is always obeying someone. There's always an authority. The first reason is because of obedience to God. Secondly, it's because your child's salvation is at stake and the will of God in their life. Do you understand that? Most parents are not smart enough to see that down the road. They don't understand that the example that they're setting, that the life that they're living, that the words that they're speaking, the actions that they're showing is directly related to how that child is ever going to respond to the Holy Spirit of God in their life. The third reason, of course, is their spiritual future. Now let me give you some verses to back all this up. Deuteronomy 32, 46. Do you have this in your notes? Okay. Read it with me here. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe and do all the words of this law. Moses looks right at these people before he dies and goes on to glory. He looks at them and says, listen, all this that I gave you to do, it's not just so that you could do them. It's so that you could do them and teach your children why they should do them. Because it's your obedience. I've set this before you so that you could do them and that you could teach your children. And then we look at Proverbs 22, 6. This is our responsibility. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he shall not depart. He will not depart from it. You see, that word train has to do with bringing them up and training them along. And really, it has to do with pointing them in the direction. Notice specifically what the Bible says and the way that they, what? Should go. And the way they, what? Should go. Should they go the right way or the wrong way? The right way, which is God's way. That's the narrow way. So who's going to show them if you don't? Not going to be the world. It's not going to be their friends. I read a startling statistic of teenagers done by a research group, and it's something like 96% of teenagers get the majority of their decision-making counseling from their friends. It's ridiculous. They just don't get it. There's not very much communication that goes on about important things and viable interests to God, especially for the Christian, in the secular place. So if we're not going to give them that counsel, who's going to give it to them? It's not going to be the devil. If we're not teaching them what the right way looks like, you think they're just going to choose it on their own? No, man. No, listen. There's none that seeketh after God. They naturally are gone astray. Everyone has gone their own way. They're like sheep. And so I want us to see this. Now, I want you to understand then about this spiritual future thing. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think you have it there in your notes, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Paul speaking to Timothy about from a child. If you go back to the beginning of that book, he talks about his mother and his grandmother. He talks about the legacy of faith and the legacy of a spiritual life. And so I want us to see, first and foremost, before we get into the rest of this, the responsibility of a godly example. Now listen, those of us that are parents would not trade it for the world. It's awesome. It's great. I don't know. There are few things in the world that top being a parent. But I want you to understand that with that responsibility, if you're willing to shoulder it, if you are willing to, by grace, say, Lord, I want to do this for your glory. It's not for me. I don't want to make trophies for the world or, you know, relive my life through their life. What I want to do is please you, and I want to raise my children so that they will please you. I want you to understand some things that go along with that, all right? If you'll take that responsibility, if you'll shoulder it by the grace of God and endure so that you are willing to do whatever it takes to please the Lord, obey God in your own life, and to train them up to do the same, I want you to see, secondly, then, the riches of a godly example. The riches that come along with it. You don't. When I say riches, I don't mean a 6 or 7 or 8 figure paycheck, okay? Because there is such thing in the Bible as true riches and spiritual blessings and riches, okay? We've looked at that before. I think you have it in your notes, Psalm 128, verse 1. Notice what it says. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. Look up here. There are plenty of people in this world that make bazillions, and they're not happy. Have you ever read, or seen anything about Howard Hughes? Miserable wretch. He died. Not one friend. He'd given anything to have one. It was all about the money. Plenty of people that have and are not happy. The sad thing is there are plenty of Christians in churches like this that have and they're not happy. Do you understand? So think about the responsibility of a godly life and a godly example. It's mine before God. I'm going to give an account for my life. But for those of us that have been blessed with children and even grandchildren, now I've got to think about the riches that come along with the responsibility. So let's go back and begin again. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy that shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. God puts a high value on the individual who wants to lead his home in the fear and the reverence of God. You see, when you live a successful Christian life before your family and you train the heart of your child to grow up God's way, you are depositing in an inordinate amount of spiritual riches into the heart of your child that, listen, are going to bring a return to you. And that's what this Bible verse is teaching. If I'm willing to live exemplary before God, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be thou an example unto the believers in charity and faith and purity and conversation, then I'm going to get a return. Now, I want you to remember this. Children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. And so when you make an impression of the love of God, here is your return. First of all, you get a respect for loving authority. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, in the second part, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now, that verse does not have a context in today's society because the vast majority of kids don't respect their fathers. That's truth. They have no regard for their dad. He's the old man. He's the one that comes home and pays for all the stuff that I get to have. And there's no respect for him. Why? Because he's not living respecting to God. You see? Now, verse 6 then says, of the second half, the glory of children are their father. Now, this is not about fathers being like supermen to their children, although that has an element there. In other words, when you were little, your dad could do nothing wrong. He was Superman. If you couldn't get something, you couldn't get the lid off, and say, Dad, will you open this? He could pop it off. If you couldn't do something, he could do it. It was just that's just the way it was. If somebody was a threat to you, you'd be like, I'm going to tell my dad. And you go home and you feel like there's nobody that can whip my dad. And it didn't matter the size of your dad or the stature of somebody else. That's just your personality. That was your paradigm of your father, that he was absolutely invincible. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just making them Superman. You see, it has to do with them being a spiritual father to the children and them being fulfilled, them being honored, them being thankful to have a father who lives for God. It's one thing to say, yeah, my dad's my pal. It's another thing to have a man that you honor because he honors and follows the Lord. Those of you that have a father who loves the Lord know the difference, vastly the difference. Now, children then respect the father who lives away from the church the same way that he does while he's at the church. Do you know why? I want you to think about this. Children don't honor hypocrites. They don't glory in hypocrisy. They honor spiritual integrity. I want you to see this in Proverbs 31:28. Her children, speaking of the virtuous woman, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Why? Because of her walk with God. Because of her integrity, her spiritual integrity. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's a whole lot easier when they're actually honoring God the Father. Would you agree? It's a whole lot easier to obey the command that you're watching someone else obey the command. And that's the idea. My responsibility is to live a godly example for my children so that when I turn around, I can say, instead of do as I say, not as I do, I can just say do as I do. And do because it's right. You see, it's a matter of saying, Lord, I want to live for you, and the return of my investment in my children is that they're going to respect the loving authority. Nobody honors an angry father. Nobody honors anger. Nobody honors an envious or a covetous father. Nobody honors a radically loose father. No. They honor a father that's temperate in all things. They honor a father that honors God, that pleases God. Children normally have no problem honoring someone who truly honors God. And so I want you to see one of the returns, according to this, is that there is a respect, there is an honor that goes along. The glory of children are their father. Secondly, I believe that it is intimated there that there is a compliance to a higher will. Now you got to think this. A son who is a rebel against his father's will is not going to find glory in his dad. Would you agree? So if a father is trying to give instruction and the son goes, "No way, I'm out of here. I'm leaving." As he's leaving, he's not going to turn around and say, "By the way, thank you for being the most godly example I've ever seen. And I really would like your advice as I'm getting ready to leave here." That's not the way it works. The way it works is when I am investing the love of Christ, when I am living the life that I know that I ought to live before the Lord, and I am investing in them, what happens is they are submissive to my will. Now, that may take some training, and tonight's not the night to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, when I train up a child the way he should go, what they're understanding is I need to subject my will to my father's will, which eventually will lead me to subjecting my will to God's will. So the compliance to a higher will. One of the inherent riches of being a godly example while raising your children is their compliance to your will. Their obedience will be a result of your obedience to God. And listen, they are great detectives. Phenomenal. Their radar is the best in the world. They listen for hypocrisy. They have eyes that can go right through the walls and they see what you're doing. They know. They know. They hear your conversations on the phone. They watch how you handle matters. They will learn to comply to your will, which will in turn teach them to comply to God's will. If parents, by the way, kick against the Lord's perfect will, their kids will do the same. What glory is in that? That's my whole point. The verse says that the glory of children are their fathers. It's not, "Yay, I have one." It's, "Yay, I have one that I can follow that I want to be like." We're in the middle of, oh, I don't know, it seems like 6,000 or 8,000 projects at our house all simultaneously happening. It looks really like you walked up on Bunker Hill. Everything is in disarray at my house right now, and it's driving me bananas. And there's no right angles anywhere. There's nothing put away. Everything is everywhere. My fence, the property line of my fence, is completely rotted. And it's 22 years old. It needed to be replaced. And so I'm in the middle of tearing it down, and me and my fantastic son-in-law are going to somehow, I say we, it's mostly he, are going to build this fence. I have mold under my grass that I didn't know I had. I mean, it's a mess. My bedroom got painted. Everything's in the middle of the bedroom. You know how that goes? Everything goes to the middle, and you go home and you go, "I'll just sleep it like that." You jump in it, right? Right? Is that not where we all live? Everything is just everywhere. It's Gabe's fault. It's Matt's fault. It's not my fault. Just wait this. Where's I going with this? I have no idea. Don't you hate that? Right in the middle of a good story, you just whoop, check right out. Where's I going with this, Lord? I have no idea. I really have no idea. I'll think of it. If the Lord gives it back to me, great. All right, here we go. Where am I? Compliance to a holy... is it almost there? I can't think of it. Rob, you sucked it right out of my brain. Compliance to a higher will. Let me give you the verse. Maybe it'll come back later. If it does, great. If not, who cares? Colossians 3:20. Watch this. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." You know, the saddest thing is when parents try to teach that principle without knowing them themselves. Now, I'm telling you, it's the right thing for you to obey. And then they come, and they sit, and they hear the preaching, and they see what God is trying to say, and then they watch their parents, and they go, "Oh, so it's not really that big of a deal." Now, I don't recommend it. I don't think that any kid that I know would have the audacity to stand up in the middle of a, let's say, a closed forum discussion based on his or her disobedience and say, "Well, now, wait a minute, you're not obeying God, so I don't think you have any right to stand there and tell me about it." I don't think that child would survive, to be honest with you, but at least the children that I know. But in reality, that's what they could say to some of us. Capiche? The fact of the matter is it's a very big responsibility to parent children far beyond "do as I say, not as I do." Now, let me give you the third thing here. One of the returns is respect for loving authority. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I got it. Okay. Remember what I said? If I'm living a godly example, and I can look at, or my kids can look at me and say, I want to be like that when I grow up. Some of you probably have said that way in some sense about your father or about someone that you know. Man, I would love to be like that. So my house is in disarray. My backyard looks like a minefield. It's just all been ripped up. Braden wants to be outside so bad, especially with the power tools or a rake or something. He said to my wife yesterday, I really want to be outside with Dad. I need to go to work with Dad. So he got his boots on. He got his britches on. He comes out there and he's trying to rake dirt clods and try to move stuff because he sees me doing it. He sees me enjoying doing it. He sees me with other men who are enjoying doing it. We're trying to do all this kind of stuff. And he's looking at me, listen, from a physical standpoint, and he's saying, I want to be like that. Now, let's think about this in a spiritual realm. I hope Braden one day says, I want to be like that spiritually. I want to pray like Dad prays. I want to read the Bible like Dad reads the Bible. I want to know God like Dad knows God, because it's apparent that he loves Christ. That is everything. If he never picks up the Bible and never preaches out of it, I am happy with that. But if he does not grow up to love Jesus Christ and to serve him with all of his heart, I have failed. I want you to hear me say that. If he runs away from God and no longer loves God, for any of my children, I have failed of the grace of God. There's no glory in that child to look at me and say, that's my dad, I want to be like him. If he doesn't love God, how in the world is he going to train up his child to love him? Which is where we're going next. The return of being compliant to a higher will. Then, of course, I think this kind of leads into it. One of the returns is that they'll have an appetite for spiritual things. The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. I want you to see this in your notes. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, I want you to remember that statement, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall, notice, not be ashamed. He's talking about the kids. They'll not be ashamed of who they belong to. They'll not be ashamed of the message that they've heard. They'll not be ashamed of the heritage they've inherited themselves. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The return is twofold. The Bible says here, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, that is success and security. The individual that raises his children as an heritage has the security of the legacies that he's leaving and has the satisfaction of the success that he has by the grace of God. And then you see that they're not ashamed. They'll even go to the enemies and say, listen, I don't care what you want to say about my dad or what you want to say about the message that I'm living for, I'm willing to sit here and talk to you as long as it takes. Because they know whom they have believed. Now, I want you to get this. Responsibility, the riches. Thirdly, we see the reward. And I'm done. The reward of a godly example. In your notes, you have Psalm 126, I think. Do you have that one? You don't? Write it down. The reward of a godly example. First of all, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men. The Bible says in Psalm 128 and verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. God's blessing a legacy and saying, listen, you're gonna see not only what I'm doing now, but you're going to see your children and you're going to see their children, and it's going to fulfill you. Again, in Genesis 50 and verse 23, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of nature, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. What a joy that must have been. For Joseph to be completely isolated from his family, completely turned away, betrayed, to have them forgive, for him to forgive him, to exercise the grace of God, then to have two children, then to see those children have children. Man, it must have been awesome. Somewhere along the line, maybe he sat up at his desk and looked at his wife and said, man, I'm so glad I didn't give up in a jail cell. I'm so glad I just stayed faithful. I'm so glad I just kept on praying. I'm so glad I just kept on reading the Bible, and I just kept on going to church, and I kept on doing right and submitting myself, and God exalted me. And what do I get out of all that? I get to see my children blessed of God and their children after them. What a joy. Many people in this room cannot see that in their own children or even in their grandchildren. How tragic is that? Well, I believe the root we find right here in Proverbs 17. There is a verse in the Bible that I've always held with great admiration. It's 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. What a powerful statement in light of what we're talking about tonight. May I ask you what greater joy there could be than to watch your children grow up and serve God rather than serve themselves? What greater joy is there? Tell me what it is. Please explain to me how more money or how more cars or how more things or how more advancement could be greater than them walking in the truth of God. Watching them live out the spiritual advice and godly example that you gave them, what could be more than that? I think of Miss Roy's father that sits down there in Buckeye and still preaching, been preaching for great night, 40 years or more, and thinking about all that that man's gone through, and to see his children have children and to watch them serve God. That man sits every night, no doubt in my mind, and says, God, I am the richest guy on the planet. I'm watching my kids serve you and win people to Christ. And it all goes back to a guy that just said, I just want to do right. I just want to be right. I want you to see the blessing of a godly heritage. The return, the reward, the blessing of a godly heritage. What you get to watch in your children is them make wise decisions. You get to witness that. Now look, we've already seen them perhaps make a lot of foolish decisions. But Lord willing, one day they're going to make a wise one finally. Maybe after they're 15 or 16, they finally will. When they make that decision and you get to witness that, you think of this verse. Lord, they made that decision because of your grace, and you honored what I try to do in their life. It's not because of me. It's because of you. You get to witness that. Consider all the people all over the world that don't. They watch their children fumble, bumble through life and make mistake after mistake after mistake, and you just go, man. Sometimes people ask me, and I look at them and go, I don't even know what to say. I don't know how. I can't relate. I don't even know what to say. Their children are so far removed. I did have a lady one time say, Pastor, I wish to God 50 years ago I'd have found a church like this to raise my children in. Because I know that they wouldn't have made the decisions that they made in their lifetime. I regret that. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement to make. She died, by the way, just a few years ago, Charlene Taylor. Now, that's an amazing statement. You get to witness them make wise decisions. Another blessing of a godly heritage is you get to observe God's blessings on their life. You get to watch that. You get to experience the fruitful fellowship. Can you imagine, Rob, what it must have been like for Job's second set of kids? I mean, think about it. It must have been awesome. It must have been great. You don't get to see that if you don't stay faithful. I'm just trying to be honest with you tonight. I'm trying to help you. Faithfulness is not measured in years, but in decades. Man, I get a little excited when I talk about the family. The blessing of a godly heritage. Secondly, another reward is you get to boast of God's grace. Parents, can I just hear me out? Grandparents, everybody. If anything good happens in your life, if your kids ever make a wise decision, from who they marry to what they do, they ever make a good choice, and you get to watch God's blessings, don't ever take credit for it. Don't ever do that. Point it straight up. Someone says to you, man, your family's this, or your child's that, or whatever. Say, you know what? God's been so gracious to me. I'll tell you, notice what the Bible says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. People see something good in your family, you better thank the Lord for it. You better give him the credit. A teardrop crept into a man as he knelt on bended knee next to a golden-haired tiny lad whose age was just past 3. He prayed with such simplicity, please make me big and strong, just like Daddy, don't you see? Watch over me all night long. Jesus, make me tall and brave like my daddy next to me. The simple prayer he prayed tonight filled his heart with humility. As I heard his voice so wee and small offer his prayer to God, I thought these little footsteps someday my path may trod. O Lord, as I turn my eyes above and guidance ask from Thee, keep my walk over ever so straight for the little feet that follow me. Buoy me when I stumble and lift me when I fail. Guard this tiny bit of boy as he travels down life's trail. Make me what he thinks I am is my humble, gracious plea. Help me ever be the man this small lad sees in me. The example that we set is very powerful. And the reward that we gain from it is beyond all human comprehension. Can you imagine the fellowship that you will have with your family, even in glory, when you look back and you see the faithful path that you've walked together, all because of the grace of God? I'm telling you, there is nothing greater in the world. My family is like all over the map. 2, 23, so I've got people married over here, and I've got little kids that are just learning to go to the bathroom by themselves. Hallelujah for that, by the way. And so when we get around the table, it's still quite an eventful place, but I will tell you that there's no more fulfilling place. It's awesome. My kids love it. Preston, by the will of the Lord, will be able to come home Friday night for a few days. And he can't stand it. He can't wait to get home. We showed him some videos the other night of some stuff that was going on. And all he can think about is, man, I wish I was there. I wish I was there. I'm glad for that. I'm glad he's not thinking, well, who gives a rip? Too bad for you. You don't see the dorm room I'm sleeping in. You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful for what God's given to me. And I'm thankful for what God's given to you. But remember, with whom much is given, much is required. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so gracious to us. I pray that you'll please help us tonight.